Some recent studies have shown that humans, and especially very young children, can benefit from consuming even small amounts of bovine colostrum. Bovine colostrum is the term used to refer to the milk that is obtained from the first milking of a cow just after it gives birth. This yellowish liquid is very high in antibodies that help boost the calf's immune system and might be beneficial for humans too. It is not exactly clear just how beneficial bovine colostrum is for the human population, but nevertheless, manufacturers are more than happy to fill this demand by supplying products that contain bovine colostrum. One such product that a company was interested in making that would contain colostrum was baby formula. However, from a kosher standpoint, bovine colostrum raises a number of questions. The first question that needs to be addressed is as to whether bovine colostrum should be considered like ordinary milk. Since it is technically dissimilar from ordinary milk, one must consider as to whether it is necessarily included in the heter of milk. The Gemara questions how it is that we know that one may drink cow's milk altogether. Since, after all, there is a prohibition of eating aver min achai, parts of a live animal, perhaps milk should be included in this prohibition as well. The Gemara answers that the permissibility of milk is deduced from the pasuk, Eretz zavas chalav udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Since the Torah praises the land of Israel as being a land that flows with milk, it must be that milk is kosher. Although technically speaking, cow's milk should have been forbidden, subsumed under the prohibition of Eiver Min Achai, nevertheless, the Torah goes out of its way to be mechadish, to teach us a new law that cow's milk is permitted. But what about colostrum? Since it is technically dissimilar from ordinary milk, perhaps it was never permitted, and perhaps the prohibition of Eiver Min Achai should still apply. However, there is a direct proof that colostrum is kosher, from Rashi in Gemara Chulin. Rashi states that the milk that a pregnant cow produces immediately prior to delivery is considered milk with respect to the laws of Basar B'Cholov, not mixing milk and meat. This is because the Chalev Imo, the mother's milk requirement, is considered satisfied, although the pregnant cow is not currently a mother, since the cow will become a mother. Since Rashi is obviously referring to colostrum, it is clear from this Gemara that colostrum is considered milk. However, there is a second kosher concern that needs to be carefully analyzed, and that is the question as to whether the leniencies of Chalav Stam can be applied to colostrum as well, or will colostrum be required to be milked only under Jewish supervision? It should be noted that colostrum is milked in the same manner as ordinary milk. The same milking machines that are used for ordinary milkings are used to milk colostrum as well. However, because of the comparative infrequency of colostrum milkings, this milk is typically collected in 5-gallon totes and is frozen. It waits in freezers until it is periodically collected by companies that specialize in colostrum. Now, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah tells us that we may only buy cow's milk from a non-Jew if there was a Jew that watched the milking. This was a rabbinic decree to ensure that non-kosher milk, that is, milk that comes from non-kosher animals, such as pigs, horses, and camels, was not mixed in. It is interesting to note that there are still countries today where horses and camels are commercially milked. Though it is uncommon to find non-kosher milk in the United States, still the gezeira, the rabbinic decree, is still in effect, and one may not purchase milk that did not have any supervision. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, explained that today in America one is permitted to buy milk that comes from a non-Jewish dairy because the government closely regulates this product. Companies would be fearful to try and mix in milk from other animals since the penalties for doing so could include fines and loss of one's license, while the profit motive to mix in milk from other animals is very small. Therefore, Rav Moshe argued that we can rely on the mirtos, the fear of getting caught that the government inspectors create to allow buying and drinking milk, even though the milking was not technically rabbinically supervised. The question now is as to whether the leniency applies to colostrum as well. The U.S. government defines milk as being milk which is free from colostrum, and according to the government's definition, colostrum is not milk. Although we have shown that kosher law does not differentiate between milk and colostrum, the U.S. government does. The government laws that forbid mixing in milk from other animals into cow's milk do not apply to colostrum. If one wishes to sell colostrum and add to it horse and pig colostrum, the government would not object. However, if the company wishes to label the product bovine colostrum, then the government would insist that it only include colostrum from cows. Adding in foreign milks would constitute a labeling violation akin to fraud. Is this then an adequate mirtas? Can we say that so long as the product is labeled bovine colostrum, and the government would fine them if they were caught mislabeling the product, then this would be enough to be included in the heter of chalav stam? The truth is that this is a questionable line of reasoning, because there are really two components to Rav Moshe's heter. One condition is that the government imposes fines for violating the laws. But the second condition is that the government closely regulates the industry and would catch and prosecute violations. This is not necessarily the case when it comes to colostrum. Because this is not a food violation, but rather a labeling violation, some milk inspectors have purportedly said that they might not report a company if they saw this type of violation. Therefore, although it is clearly illegal for a company to mislabel a product, and there are penalties if one is caught, it is not clear that the company would be mirtos, fearful of being caught in violation. Therefore, there exists a serious question as to whether the Isser of Chalav Akum applies to colostrum even here today in America. However, there are other mitigating factors that must be taken into account as well when analyzing whether colostrum is permitted. The form in which colostrum is used for infant formula is in the form of a colostrum whey powder. Colostrum is collected from the farms and then turned into a cheese, and the whey is strained off from the cheese. This whey is collected and then spray-dried into a powder, and it is this powder that is added to baby formula. Since this is the form in which colostrum is used, there are two more lenient considerations as well. There is much written on the question of whether the prohibition of Chalav Akum applies to whey. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that there is a basis for being more lenient when dealing with whey, since whey is a byproduct of cheese production, and we say that one would not add milk from a non-kosher animal to their cow's milk when they are interested in making cheese, since milk from non-kosher animals does not coagulate properly. However, this leniency has limitations. It might depend on how the cheese company pays for their milk, if they pay based on how much cheese they produce or based on how much milk they purchase. If a cheesemaker pays based on how much cheese they produce, then a farmer would have no incentive to water down his milk or to add milk from other animals. On the other hand, if a company pays for milk based on volume of milk, they do testing to make sure that it conforms to their standards and that it was not adulterated. This still might be sufficient to ensure that a farmer would not mix in milk from non-kosher animals. Another reason to be lenient is based on the svara of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that powdered milk is not included in the prohibition of Chalav Akum. Although in many communities this ruling has not been accepted, it could still be used as a mitigating factor in combination with other reasons. The poskim for the OU have ruled that since we cannot say for sure whether colostrum is included in Rav Moshe Feinstein's leniency of Chalav Stam, we should only be lenient when there are additional factors as well. The truth is that in this case of the baby formula, the amount of colostrum that the company wanted to add was certainly batel b'shishim. The question is only one of whether we would allow the inclusion of colostrum l'chatchila, or whether this would be considered bittel iser, nullifying iser, which is not permitted. Additionally, one can argue that colostrum might be beneficial for babies, and this should be considered like a makom refuah. Considering, as we have discussed, that there are many reasons to say that colostrum might even be permitted, and it is definitely bottled many times over in the final product, and the only question is whether this should be allowed l'chatchila, it was the decision of the poskim for the OU that in this case it may be permitted l'chatchila. Each case, though, must be evaluated on its merits as to whether it should be permitted or not. Thank you for listening to this edition of OU Kosher Radio.